かして君の中入っていて、その目から僕を覗いたらいろんなことちょっとはわかるかも。
Welcome to the fifth episode of Two Peas in a Drama Pod, where two college students like to talk about Asian dramas. This week, we'll be doing a recap of episode 17 of Gangnam Style, since there's only one episode this week because of the Olympics. There's going to be no recaps of The General Indignity because it didn't air. And we'll also be talking about a Japanese drama called Pride, because in commemoration of the Olympics, it's a sports drama about ice hockey. So, should be a good episode where we get to talk a lot more about each of the shows, and we'll go straight into the news.
Yeah, there's not much for news this week, but one piece of Japanese news, there wasn't too much in the Korean field other than a few trailers and stuff that were released, but Ken Watanabe, the famous actor, is going to be in a new Japanese drama series. And it's supposed to be a...
Who's Ken Watanabe? Wait, that really famous Japanese actor?
Yes, the really famous one, who's in, like, Memoirs of Geisha and Inception. He's going to be in a J-drama.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine this. Dude.
And also, they have an American actor.
Worth millions and millions of dollars.
I know. They also have an American actor, too, named David Morse. He's going to play Douglas MacArthur. And he's been in The Green Mile, so... I think it's going to be a
really, J-drama?
Yeah, in this J-drama.
What?
I think it's going to be a pretty high-end, high-production, lots of money J-drama, so they better get a lot of ratings for it. But we'll see.
Why would he sign on to do a drama? Dude, he's like an A-list movie star.
I know. Maybe he thought it was interesting. I've seen a lot more actors, like high-end A-list actors, being in TV shows lately.
Like who?
Just not in just Asian shows, but also in American
shows.
Like who? Like, I can't remember. There's this one guy that I don't know his name. I just recognize his face.
He's not an A-list movie actor, obviously, then.
Pretty famous actor. And plus, just in TV shows, like HBO shows and stuff, there's plenty of famous people.
HBO. HBO is not public cable.
So?
People pay to see HBO.
Maggie, or, what's her name? That plays McGonagall? I can't remember her name, but she's in Downton Abbey. That sounds a public show.
She's not an A-list movie actor. She's only famous for being McGonagall.
No, she's an A-list movie actor. In Britain, at least. She's really good.
Well, Down Abbey's really good, so.
I would say she's on, like, the same level as Ken Watanabe.
Well, it better be a good show. Down Abbey's really good, so.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be good if they're able to get him on the show.
Okay, yeah,
continuing on.
So, a new teaser for Arang and the Magistrate has come out. And if you don't know what this show is about, it's about this ghost. it's a fantasy drama that takes place in the Joseon era. And Shin Mina plays Aron, the daughter of a magistrate who is brutally murdered. She returns as a ghost, but she doesn't remember what happened in her life or how she got murdered. So she goes around haunting everyone until she meets... this guy who's played by Lee Jun-ki, and obviously they fall in love because this is K-drama land. But I think it's going to be something, I think there's going to be comedy with some drama and all kinds of stuff, because that's what I'm getting from it based on the teaser and the premise of the show. Arang and the Magistrate will premiere on NBC on August 15th at 9:55 p.m. Korean time.
I wonder how that's going to work, because she's a ghost. And obviously the love interest is not.
Well, she made it work as a Kumiho. I'm sure she made it work as a ghost. There's also a new teaser video for To the Beautiful You, which is set to premiere on Wednesday, August 15th as well. At 9:55 p.m. on SBS. What? When am I going to... How am I going to choose? New episodes will air every Wednesday and Thursday. The new teaser video looks awesome.
The new teaser video reveals so much more about the show, and I'm officially so excited. I was already excited for the show, but I can't wait to see how they're going to do it as a Korean drama, and I really hope they stay faithful to the Japanese manga. I'm really hoping this adaptation is super good, just because Korean dramas are so... are higher quality, so... I'm so excited for this show.
Yeah, and
Hino looks really good in it. Like, he actually looks the part of the track star, so I was a little doubtful at first, but now I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, his character and the way he acts, just like his attitude in general, I think really fits the character, so excited. And Sully actually looks like a boy, even though she's really pretty as a girl.
I feel like that's the case, though, for most of the actresses that they've chosen to pick that, or chosen to cast as that person. They're all pretty feminine looking. Except for maybe Ella in the Taiwanese version. But she was still feminine looking.
She was feminine in her own way.
Yeah, she was just the most guyish of the Taiwanese, Japanese, and Korean remakes so far. So I'm sure they would figure out a way to make it work. And also, I guess it's just like a mind thing too. Like, there's no way a girl can go to this school, even though in normal life, people would probably think she's a girl.
Oh, no, in normal life, if someone says they're a girl, I'm not going to think they're a guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying if someone saw her in the street, they might think, oh, she's a girl, until they find out she goes to an all-guy school, and it's like, oh, there's no way. She's a girl, then. She must be a guy.
Yeah.
Okay, continuing.
The new KBS drama, Nice Guy, has also released its first teaser stills of the male lead, Song Joong-ki. He's so cute. I don't know how he's going to play this character, because I think of him as that guy from Sukyukwan Scandal. And I just can't imagine him playing some evil guy who is trying to get revenge on his ex-girlfriend by using another girl. It's gotta be some crazy circumstances that turns him from a nice guy into a bad guy just over a girl.
I'm sure he's not gonna be evil though the entire time.
Yeah, I think he's probably gonna be like, they're probably like overemphasizing and making it him a little bit more evil than he will actually be like in the show.
Yeah, as a male lead, he's got to be somewhat likable, so he's got to have some pretty good qualities, too, in addition to...
I think he could play anyone, it's so likable. It's just... his personality and his face, his attitude, it's just so likable. I just can't imagine him playing this mean person.
Yeah, but I didn't know that the lead woman who he was betrayed by was Park Shion. She's the same girl who was in Coffee House, right?
The older person?
No, Coffee House.
What's Coffee House?
Never mind. Okay, or My Girl, the crazy tennis player.
Oh, wait.
She's the same girl.
Yeah, yeah. That's the same girl I was thinking of.
Yeah. She's in Coffee House. What?
Isn't she older than him? She looks so much older than him.
Song Joong-ki?
Yeah, she looks so much older than Song Joong-ki.
I think she is older than him, but...
I mean, she plays,
at least
like,
looks... She still looks really young.
I mean, she looks young, but she plays these people that are in their 20s, at least. Or late 20s, and Song Joong-ki looks like he's in college still. Even though he... may not be. I don't really know what his age is.
I mean, clothes and makeup can do a lot for a person.
Clothes, makeup, and acting.
Yeah, so we'll probably watch the first episode of this, see how this goes. And that's all for news this week. We didn't have too much. Nothing much is going on, especially with the Olympics going on.
Yeah.
The dramas are kind of being put on a hold right now.
Did you see the opening ceremony?
Yeah, I did.
Dude, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was a really...
I think the Chinese one was better, though.
Yeah, I think it was too, but we could be biased.
And if anyone is sad about not being able to watch the Hilton Signy, go watch the opening ceremony for the Olympics, or just keep up with the Olympics. It's awesome.
I'm sure most people are. Okay, continuing on. We're going to, after a short music break, recap episode 17 of Gaxitao and offer our thoughts on this latest episode.
Okay, so we begin episode 17 with the ambush by the Freedom Fighters and the appearance of Shinji to ruin the day yet again. Kanto quickly assesses the situation and realizes that it's probably not a good idea to aid Damsari in his escape in front of all the police officers. So he knocks Damsari unconscious and pretends that he was not trying to aid him, and it was a good thing that Shinji arrived on the scene before Damsari could get away. Damsari gets taken back to the station, and at this point we know that Shinji is plotting for his public execution, and it's going to be realized because the Kichikai's behind it. Kono finds out that Shinji disobeyed his orders and immediately asks for his arrest, but at that moment the phone rings and Kono is forced to order the public execution of Damsari. It's this scene and a few other scenes when Kanto realizes that Shinji has got some pretty big power force behind him to be able to do the stuff that he's doing. And he's quickly realizing that Shinji may actually be a part of the Kichikai, which is going to be interesting because he has to kill all the Kichikai. So we'll see where that goes. And hopefully the whole Kichikai plot gets brought back in general.
Yeah, at the rate he's going right now, he hasn't been much into the gotta get the Kishokai thing.
Yeah.
He's spending a lot of time on the Buni and Damsari plot.
Yeah, which, that's exciting too, but it's like, that has nothing to do with the original reason why Gaxitao was created. Anyway. So, there's several scenes throughout the episode involving the circumstances of Damsari's public execution and the possible ripple effect that will cause, especially with them executing him, even though Japan is supposed to be a lawful country that was trying to modernize an unlawful country like Joseon. That's their campaign, and if they publicly execute Damsari, that's pretty barbaric and... So there's a lot of issues surrounding that, but of course it's going to go through because it's the Kichikai. Moving on, Shinji takes Mokdan to a room in order to keep her safe, and he tries to act like the good guy, but we know he's the bad guy. But I really don't know what to believe from him anymore. I just, like, sometimes I'm like, no, I hate you, and other times I'm like, oh, Shinji, you're still in there. But anyway, Mokdan gets taken to a room at the Asuka Hotel. Kanto finds out, and he goes to see her, and it's then that he reveals to her that he is Young Master, the person who gave her the knife. Obviously, Mokdan doesn't take this too well, and I'm pretty sure she phrases it the best, when she's like, okay, the person, the one that caught my father and had him sentenced to death, that Lee Kanto is the Young Master, the one that wants to catch the Freedom Fighters. Lee Kanto is the one I've been waiting for. the person who, in order to catch bridal mask, caught me and tortured me and made me stand in the middle of the square to kill me. That Lee Kanto. All in all, it's like blow after blow after blow of verbal abuse at Lee Kanto. And yeah, he's feeling the pain of his past mistakes right now. But their conversation gets interrupted by Shinji again, and Mokdan wanted it to end anyway because she just can't get over the fact that Lee Kanto is the young master that she's been waiting for. Anyway, Kanto is also planning to help Damsari escape because at this point, he doesn't know how he's going to get Damsari out of there now that the transport plan has failed and his public execution is only in 5 days. He gets the aid of the comrades by pretending to be Gaxi Tal. After he meets with the comrades, we find out that Lala really does not like Mokdan and is planning to have her killed. One, because Shinji still loves her. And two, probably because she is really jealous of the fact that Kanto likes her and Lala likes Kanto. Even though she's trying to deny that. So, we see bodyguard taking an unconscious Mokdan out of the Asuka Hotel. And thank goodness Kanto sees them pulling out. He follows them. And it's then that he finds out that, yep, Lala is part of the Kishikai or some other major power force. He interrupts the meeting between Lala, Taro, and the bodyguard just as they're about to kill Mokdan. Rescues her. Epic battle ensues. I think this is the best battle of the show so far. It was pretty awesome. Except I still think Mokdan and Lala are, I mean, they're good fighters, but next to the guys are nothing. And then Kanto is very, very badly injured, but he eventually wins the fight. Mokdan runs to their regular meeting spot in the woods and hopes that she'll be able to find him because she doesn't know what happened to him since she had to run away in the middle of the battle. She stands there and waits for him, and lo and behold, the sounds of a horse approach, and it's Kanto unconscious on the back of the horse. The moment of truth, Mokdan approaches Gaxi Tal slowly and removes the mask. Now she finds out who Gaxi Tal is. And it's Lee Kanto, the person that she's supposed to hate.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dude, this episode is so crazy.
What a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Now Mokdan is like, I mean, after Kanto told her that she was a young master, she was still holding on to the fact that even if Kanto is young master, the person that I would idolize, at least I still got Gaxi Tal. But even as she was approaching Gaxi Tal, she was probably thinking that this is Kanto. Like, you could just see the look on her face of the inevitable result that was about to happen.
Yeah. I can't wait to see her reaction in the next episode. Not only one, because she's going to have some really conflicting emotions, but also, she treated Kanto so terribly. Like, I want to see how she's going to make up for this.
Yeah, it's going to be insane, and I don't know, like, how this is going to affect the rest of the Freedom Fighters and Damsari, because they're all going to find out that Kanto is Gaxi Tal as well. It's going to be some craziness. I really, really hope that this is a cliffhanger that actually has an impact on the rest of the show. Because you know how some cliffhangers, like, they just, like, do something that,
it's a fake,
diminishes it, so it didn't really mean anything?
Yeah.
It could be
about that. Same time, though.
What?
Even if this sets off a whole thing about her finding out that he's Gaxi Tal, and then Freedom Fighters finding out, Damsari kind of already affected E Kanto, so his feelings won't be as it won't be as big a difference, but the show is moving so fast. They still have 10 episodes left, and Mokdan's already found out he's Gaxi Tal.
Yeah, well, at least the police force still haven't figured it out, although I feel like Shinji is getting so close. He's still suspicious.
He's scarily close right now.
Yeah, and there's still plenty of stuff they can do in the last 10 episodes. Like, yeah. Not involving people finding out his identity, but, like, with
the Kishokai plot. And the general Korean freedom fighters plot and getting their freedom as people would, I guess, be an important component to the show.
Mm-hmm. I haven't.
We mentioned all these points they have to address. Maybe 10 episodes isn't enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I also have this weird feeling that I feel like Damsari's gonna die or some crazy thing, but just to, like, get that extra push to Mokda to accept Kanto.
I'm sure she will. I just wish there was a little bit more progression between her acceptance of Kanto before he revealed that he was Gaxatau.
Yeah, it would have been really great if she accepted Kanto and not just Gaxatau. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, I think her prejudice of Kanto, though, and him being an Imperial Japanese officer, kind of blinded her to the fact that he was doing so much stuff to help her out, and she'd never even realized it.
Yeah. Hopefully this will be an eye-opening experience for Mokda. Can't wait for the next episode.
Yeah, me too. This was such a cliffhanger. Oh my gosh. I was like, no way.
I know. Can't believe she actually found out.
Yeah. We're looking forward to next week's episode. Again, they're just airing one episode of Gaxatau. And I don't believe there will be an episode of A Gentleman's Dignity, but we'll have to wait for more announcements on that. Continuing on, next up, we are going to review a Japanese drama this time named Pride.
Yep. It's been a while since I've seen that. I was born to love you with every single beat of my heart. Yes, I was born to take care of you every single day. Hey, hey. I was born.
Okay, we're back. Alright, so we are going to review Pride. Now, this is a Japanese drama, as I said, that was aired in 2004. It has a great cast starring Kimura Takuya, if anyone's heard of him, which I'm sure a lot of people have. And Takeuchi Yuko is the two main leads. Now, the first episode pretty much sets up the show. Kimura Taku plays Sato Nakaharu, who's the star player of a corporate hockey team named the Blue Scorpions. And in the first episode, we find out that he's the type of guy to not really be in a serious relationship. He puts hockey above all other things, and his team above all other things. So he's a true Iceman, as they would call it. And Takeuchi Yuko plays Murase Aki, who's a woman who's been waiting for her boyfriend for 2 years. Every single Sunday, she goes to the bridge that her boyfriend, who's an architect, built, and she waits for him. Now, she goes to see one of his hockey games because she works for the company that owns the team. So they get tickets to a hockey game, her and her two friends, Aizawa Yuri and Ishikawa Chika. They both go with her to watch the game, and then afterwards they go to a bar called Face Off, which is where all of the hockey players kind of hang out after the game and celebrate. If any of you guys play sports, you know, that's just what people do. You hang out somewhere afterwards. And there, that's when Sato Nakaharu and his three other best guy friends on the team, Hota Yamato, Ikegawa Tomonori, and Shimomura Makoto, see Aki and her two friends. And he makes the comment that she looks like a woman from the last century, who is exactly his type of person. Actually, I'm not sure if it's actually his type of person, but is pretty close to what he likes. And most of his friends take an interest in the three girls, but it's most importantly where Haru meets Aki, who are the two main leads in the show. And the first episode, they start hitting it off. Like, he asks her out, and from then on, they enter into kind of like this contract relationship, I guess you would call it, although it really didn't resemble too many contract relationship dramas that I've seen. But
how it unfolds.
So because Aki is waiting for her long-distance boyfriend who hasn't contacted her, Haru is going to be her boyfriend until he comes back. And as soon as he comes back, as they say in the show, they're just going to smile and say bye to each other. And that's the beginning of their relationship. The rest of the show kind of follows like a episodic storyline. Each episode of the show focuses on a different conflict between either Haru, his teammates, Aki's friends. And each of the episodes introduces a conflict and then resolves the conflict. And through these conflicts, we find out more not only about Haru's character, but also about most of the other characters in the show, with the seven main ones being Haru and his three friends and Aki and her two friends. And we just find out more about them as people and how the rest of them interact with each other whenever they find out more information, or whenever they find out more about the person's character. And that's really how the show is set up, and that's the premise of the show, and it just follows these four or seven people, and follows the Blue Scorpions, the hockey team. There's quite a few hockey teams in this movie. But before we talk about our thoughts about this drama, let me premise this by saying that this is one of my favorite, and I'm sure Sandy's favorite, dramas of all time. I love this drama so much. And before we go into why, I just want to preface that because I'm a little biased towards this drama. I also just rewatched it. It's only 11 episodes, which is much shorter than Korean dramas, thank goodness. Yeah. So it's much easier to get through and just rewatch if you wanted to, because it's only 11 episodes and they tend to be about an hour long. Actually more like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's so a quick short watch. Anyway, as I said before, this is one of my favorite dramas of all time. Partly because of the way that this plays out, how their relationship plays out. There isn't a cliffhanger at the end of each episode, but you are still left wanting more, wanting to find out more about the relationship between Aki and Haru, and wanting to find out more about Haru, because he's one of the most charismatic people in this drama. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, Kimotaku.
Oh yeah, this is like, I loved Kimotaku in this. I went on like this.
But I love him in like anything. Yeah. But it was this drama that made me be like, I want to watch everything that's Kimotaku.
Yeah, Kimotaku is one of my favorite Japanese actors of all time.
He's such so a good actor. And drama. He just like, he really brings in the ratings too.
Yeah. For a Japanese show, this Pride had such high ratings. It rated its final episode was, I believe, 28%. So, for a Japanese drama, these are really, really high ratings, which just goes to show
It's really surprising that not more people have heard about it because it had really good ratings.
Yeah, but like people fell in love with the show. It could be because it came out like 8 years ago, because it was a 2004 drama.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, other things that I really liked about this drama is just how natural it was. These seven people, there was nothing extravagant about their lives. It was just finding out about them as people, and it was almost as if we were just watching their lives as well. It's similar to Shut Up Flower Boy Van in a sense that,
and you know, like, what's that other one? What's that one, Soulmate?
Yeah, it's like Soulmate as well. We just watched them with their lives, and when you watch the show, there aren't really that many scenes that stand out, because a lot of it is them being normal people. Like, Haru drives Aki home after hockey games, and like every day, and while they're in the car ride, they talk to each other, which is what normal people do, and what normal people who are dating do. And then they also hang out at the bar, which is what normal guys do for his age, and we just get to see them play with each other and hang out and talk as friends. And it was such a natural way of shooting the drama.
Yeah, I really liked how, okay, first I love that it's not that long, but I also really liked how pretty much every major conflict is presented in the first two episodes. Like, it's not some crazy, like, plot twist thing comes along. Like, it's people's lives here. Like, people don't face extravagant, crazy situations, like, at every moment of their life. You, like, enter the lives of these people, and you see what problems they're facing, and the drama goes through and resolves the problems, but it starts in the middle of the problems.
Yeah, in the first two episodes, first one or two episodes, you get to see all the problems that Haru has as a person, and that all of his friends have as a person, and then throughout the 11 episodes of this drama, they address each of these in the conflicts for each episode. So it's really nice to see how the people that they are today, how they were formed, and how they would react to these things.
Yeah, and it's also, I also really like how, so you have their personal lives and their growth, or just the fact they're just living life and dealing with it. But then you also have this other part, which is the hockey part, which is where they're like the team spirit and like they're fighting together and the idealized, like, athletic, like, that whole shebang. I love that! I love sports dramas in general just because I like sports and just the spirit that team members put into each sport and the spirit they have with each other and then the relationship that they have with each other as a team. And that part is, like, there's a problem in that world, but when they get into the game, it's just fast-paced and just, they're focused on the game. And that is a contrast to, like, with their daily lives. Like, if you just, the first episode, what I noticed was, yeah, the scene where they're talking in the car, it seems kind of slow, like, it doesn't really stand out, but I still loved it. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, this drama, there are so many good points to us. And not even, aside from the fact that the two main leads have great chemistry.
Oh yeah, the chemistry is so
good. There aren't that many scenes where they are being like a lovey-dovey couple, because of course it would be out of character for them to be like that. But just hearing their conversations and listening to the two of them talk, and then also just, it's not just physical in this drama, there's a lot of emotional bonding between the two main leads. And they have great chemistry together. One of the best of any couple I've seen in a drama. They have, like, the best chemistry, one of the best chemistry between two people I've ever seen in a drama.
And they're not even doing anything. They're just talking, but you can tell that their relationship and their feelings for each other are growing.
Yeah. And just to be able to see that they're growing. And through every episode, the more Aki finds out about Haru, the more she starts liking him. And even though they're supposedly in this contract relationship, it's a lot more natural than that. It's not like some breaking point where, oh, epiphany, I like this person now. No, it's like, it's a natural growth. And they just start appreciating each other more. And it's so awesome just watching that.
Mm-hmm. And all this gets accomplished in 11 episodes.
Yeah, so much happens in this drama. But at the same time, it never feels rushed.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's slightly different about this drama than other Asian dramas is their use of queen and the school.
Yeah, it's so
awesome. There is so much queen in this drama.
Dude, yeah, when I first watched it, I was so into queen. I think that just made it better for me.
Yeah. This drama made me a huge queen fan because they use so many queen songs. The main theme song, I Was Born to Love You, which we just played during the music break, is the theme song for the show. And you just get so into the show when you hear that song, in addition to all the other queen songs they play.
And it fits so well. They just like put it in there like, oh my gosh, it fits the scene so well. They used the queen song for it. And I don't even know if I understood what they were saying. I understood, but it's so good.
Yeah, the lyrics fit really well. And aside from just the queen songs, the score for this drama, that one violin theme that they always, that they play pretty often throughout the show, is so, it fits the scene so well. It's such an emotional song, but it doesn't overpower their dialogue. Anyway, other points that you really liked about the show, or anything else you'd like to mention?
I think that pretty much covers everything. Just literally, what else can I say that hasn't already been said? Go see this drama. It's so short. It's only 11 episodes. You'll get through it in like 3 days. It's so good. It's worth it.
If you're... This is just a good drama overall. There's something in this literally for everyone. If you actually want to see a show with a couple, this is by no means a comedy, although there are several funny parts in this. Makoto, his friend, is like comedic relief. He's so funny in the show. And of course, their conversations they have with each other. People are funny, and they're not funny all the time. They're not totally ridiculous, but they do have funny lines, just as normal people would. So there's comedy in the show. There's like emotional, like, you know, bonding. This is a great show. When we're rating this, this is more than a masterpiece for me. I do not get tired of watching this drama, and just even watching it like last week when I was just refreshing my memory, I still loved every minute of it. It's still flawless to me. There's really nothing wrong. There's really nothing I don't like about this show. So, you know, if you really want to watch like a natural drama, you get to find out about great people, and you almost feel as if you're just a part of their lives, except you're just watching them. Go watch this show.
Yeah, do it now. That's all I can say.
I mean, there's really not much else we can say about this. The two main leads have really, really good chemistry. The show is so smart and so just emotionally satisfying. But you don't ever feel like your heart is about to... There's like one scene where I felt like I was, there's a couple episodes where I was like, I'm gonna die, I can't believe this is happening. But they never leave you on a cliffhanger, really, which is the great part of the show. You're just waiting for the next episode because you want to watch more. Not just to find out what happens.
Yep, in the next few minutes or seconds.
Yeah, so to us, the show is more than a masterpiece. Please go watch it. And it's a little older, so I'll probably have to, if I can make gifts for it so you guys can see some of the great scenes of the show. But as I said, there aren't too many standout scenes. It's really the dialogue between the characters that stands out. Post some MVs, find some gifts, maybe post some screenshots of the show. This is a really great show, and if all of this doesn't get you to watch it, I don't know what will.
Yeah, there isn't actually that much stuff out there on this show. It's such a good show, but obviously the J-drama world is not as popular as the K-drama world, but it's such a good show. We'll try to find some stuff on it. But again, it is old, so the quality isn't top-notch.
Doesn't diminish the quality of the show, though.
Yep. So, everyone, go watch it. If we haven't said this, like, a million times by now.
Yeah, one of these days we'll review a show that we don't love, but for now, just the opportunity to review this show and tell more people about it, I was like, oh my gosh, yes! And because I got to watch it again for the show. So, go watch the show. It's really, really great. A masterpiece. But, alright, that concludes our review of Pride. I hope that you got something from that review. This concludes the show. That's all we have to say. If you guys have anything you'd like to send us, feedback, requests, anything like that, suggestions, please email us at 2peasinadramapod@gmail.com or go onto our Tumblr, which is the same, 2peasinadramapod.tumblr.com. You know, post it in our ask box. We'll reply to anything. We would like to get emails and anything like that. So, thanks for listening, guys, and stay tuned for our next show.
Yay!
Bye.
Bye.